brother.
Carl, how are you, my friend?
Fine. How you feel?
Oh, I don't know. I guess I'm doing all right.
Well, you're doing fine, Dan.
Well, hell, I see something come out of Georgia every day about how I played hell.
Oh, I think you're going to see them coming out now. How you doing a lot better.
I
cleared the air the other day. That helped a whole lot.
I see these barbershop poles. Who in the hell's putting those out?
Why don't you
get some policeman to get out on the street corner and have a real pole and put it out on the wire? This damn, I get a barbershop pole out of Georgia every day, and today they say it's running 100-1 against me.
Well, you know what you tell them? You tell them when I ran for governor, they had the JP pulled and the barbershop pulled, and I ran a hell of a lot worse than you ran. That's right. And it all turned out real well, man. I'd almost be willing to bet that Barry Goldwater won't get any more votes than Marvin Griffin did, and you get a whole lot more votes than I did, and I think everything will come out fine. But
what's your registration problem? Do you have many problems on registration? Is it too late, or when do they register?
Oh, no. You see, we passed a new election code about a month ago, and we're still registered.
Well, are they signing up?
Oh, good Lord, yes.
You know, last week in Philadelphia, we signed 45,000. The registration went 67,33.
Well, the Georgia vote this November will be the largest in history. And we have, of course, we've had a tremendous registration last year in our Negro vote. And we're still registering those every day. And by the way, which I know you saw too, I've had a real good reaction, surprisingly enough, to putting four Negro delegates in our convention.
Oh, you got all over the country. I had 50 people mention that to me. His front page here, and the statement you made on the loss of those boys, that boy that got killed, and how you gonna do it. And by the way, I may be wanting to talk to you about that. Looks like we're getting pretty close to solving it.
Well, that's good. I sure would like to hear from you then when you get to that point.
I think we're likely to break maybe next week, both of them, Mississippi and Georgia.
Is that right?
Yeah. Looks like we've got one fellow to confess, but the other two haven't yet. And
you mean already in Georgia?
Yeah, and we're trying to get them broken down.
Well,
and we see which one of them fired the shot.
Are they Klansmen?
Yeah.
They are?
Yeah.
Well, I figured that.
Yeah.
I figured that. Well, I sure hope that you will give me a little advance.
I'll call you whenever.
I can be thinking about a statement.
Looks like it. They're thinking of where the bodies are, the boys in Mississippi buried.
Huh. Let me ask you this. How did your cabinet take your announcement?
I haven't seen them. I don't think they're good. But I don't know what's going to come out of it. They're kind of meeting up at Hyannisport. And I think it... I called your two friends, your senators, and I said, I see by the ticker here, Herman, where are you going to Copenhagen?
Yeah.
And there's no election over there, and no convention over there. He said, oh, I don't ever go to conventions. I said, I see where you said that you hadn't been invited to speak.
Right. Hadn't been requested.
I said, this is hereby my request. Don't you ever say that again, because by God, I'm calling you and asking you. And he just died laughing, didn't commit himself at all. I said, I understand you got a wedding down at your house. And he said, yeah, I'm going to the wedding Saturday. I said, well, congratulate the bride and the groom, and go home and tell Betty that the President of the United States called you today and extended you a personal invitation to speak all over Georgia. And he said, okay, that's wonderful. Thank you very much. That's where I called Senator Russell. I said, Senator, I see in here where I'm not doing very good in Georgia, and that you are going to not be interpreting, you're not going to conventions, being against me. Well, I said, you know, I never go to convention. I told you 10 years ago I don't go to convention. I said, I never go to any conventions. And I said, well, I want to tell you what I told Herman. I want to cordially solicit your support and enthusiastically urge you to make speeches. And he said, well, I appreciate that very much, Mr. President. Thank you very much. But I'm going to go on. I'm going to kid him every time I see him.
Well, you do that. I went to the sheriff's convention yesterday down at the St. Simon's Island on Jekyll. And of course, when I finished with my remarks, which had to do with law enforcement, I said, now I'm going to deviate a little bit, and I hope you all will understand why. I said, but I'm going to talk a little politics. And I said, in the first place, I said, if you folks think that the Republicans are just trying to elect Barry Goldwater president, I said, you're just crazy. I said, they're not interested in just electing the president. I said, they're going to elect some sheriffs, some county commissioners, some mayors, some councilmen. And I said, I, for one, am not going to be guilty of what some of the Republicans did back in 1884 when they revolted and bolted from the Republican Party and formed that Mugwump Party. And I said, you know what a mugwump is, don't you? I said, that's a fellow who's got his mug on one side of the fence and his wump on the other side of the fence. And I said, we don't need any mugwumps in Georgia. And I said, if you fellows are going to sit idly by and cut your own throat, you're crazy than I think you are. When I got through with the thing, they came around. Of course, I got a hell of a reception, but they came around and said, you know, we've been sitting down here, we've been listening to all this stuff, and said, you put us thinking, said, we're going to cut out a lot of this monkey business that's been going on. I said, would you better? I said, because what we're talking about now, Democrats and Republicans. I said, Lyndon Johnson's carrying the flag for the Democratic Party, and I'm carrying it, and you carrying it, and if you don't think for a minute, if he gets knocked down or we get knocked down, we all go down together. I said, we either hang together or we're going to hang separately, one at a time.
Carl, on this civil rights, they don't ever give you a chance to say anything, but if they do, I think you ought to point out that I came in here as a result of assassination. A bill had been reported out of the House, been submitted up to President Kennedy, and I couldn't have as my first official act to repudiate the program of a dead man, and I thought it was a hell of a lot better than these demonstrations anyway. I did not call one man in either House or Senate, not one, and discuss civil rights with them. The bill got to the Senate, and they debated it for 80 days, and I never called one human being. When they voted on it, 80% of the Republicans voted for the bill. Mr. Dirksen, the Republican leader, led the bill. And 62% of the Democrats voted for it. So if they want to blame somebody, they ought to at least share the blame. It's not any one party is responsible for it. Now, I've had the problems in Georgia and Mississippi and Harlem and other places, and I treat every one of them alike. I've made available to the governor of the state the facilities of the FBI to cooperate and work with their local people. I haven't seen any paratroopers in there, and I haven't done anything that's inconsistent with their views of good local self-government. I called the governor of Mississippi, and I talked to him every two or three days, and he's worked with me and cooperated 1,000%. And he's a good man, doing his damnedest, and he's just got a situation on his hands that it's just as bad as the one I've got in Mississippi myself.
What do you think, will he and his delegation be all right?
I don't know. I doubt that he'll come. He's got this damn little Osborne Barnett raising hell, but he has agreed to put the names on the ticket, and he's agreed to print them under the legitimate symbol, and that's all we want. We don't try to tell a man he's got to endorse our platform in advance. I expect you to say in the platform's over, there's some parts of the platform I agree with, some of it I don't.
Oh, I agree with that.
And I can't say that, but I have said it when I was senator, before I became the man that wrote it.
Well, here's what I wanted to ask you on that line, because you touched upon something I wanted to sit down and talk to you about anyway. I've been trying to figure out some way, just exactly what you just talked about, some way to sort of get the shoe on the other foot down here in the South. Now, of course, the Republican platform says absolutely, unequivocally, positively that they will fully, completely execute the civil rights legislation. And I know that's what you've got to say whenever you are really confronted with that specific question. But I also know that you are a hell of a lot smarter man than Barry Goldwater, and I know, too, that you have said so many times that you believe in local self-government and that you're not going to be a federal police state, but you're going to cooperate and work with these officials. I was wondering, Mr. President, when we come up there, when this platform committee meets, if I could get some idea before the first part of the week as to what you're going to really write into your civil rights plank in the platform, and we could sit down, then what I was asking or what I was thinking about, and you turn this over in your mind, if prior to or on the day we arrive, when we go, we can say from Georgia, just like you say, that we're going up as loyal Democrats, which we are, and that in the deliberations of the platform committee, we're going to try to put forth the view that we think represents the South and represents Georgia and the rest of this part of the country. Then if there be some way in the world, and you much better at this than I am,